Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When you hear that song, that means Barry Sverluga's joining us. Barry's been all over the eastern seaboard of these United States. Barry, did you get home all right last night?
Dude, you don't even want to know. I mean,
what happened?
Oh, no. I mean, my plan was insane. I mean, since I saw you last, I left Spencer Carberry's press conference, walked directly below Madison Square Garden to Penn Station, hopped on the train to Boston because I was up there visiting law previously committed to before I realized that the Caps were going to mess with that. Dropped. To surround this morning, got back in the car with the dog, and I probably should meet you in lunch for lunch in Manhattan because I'm going to be there in about 15 minutes, and then I'm going to drive through home to D.C. just to get on the train back to New York tomorrow morning to cover the Caps.
Oh, my God. All right, so you drove from D.C. to Massachusetts. Yesterday, you took the train from Massachusetts to New York, back to Massachusetts. Now you're driving back to D.C., and tomorrow you're taking the train back to New York.
And the dog is just knocked out in the back seat, just loving life, and I'm just grinding it. So cheers to all you guys.
Wow, dude. Yeah, come on by. You can come do radio at the studio. It's cool.
Exactly.
So outside of your kind of horrendous travel schedule there, let's talk about what we saw yesterday, what you saw from the Caps, how it can get better.
Well, I mean, I kind of think and thought beforehand that there is a formula for the Caps to make this a really interesting series. And it's a lot of what you guys talked about with John Walton. Like, they're not going to win these games 5-4. They've got to grind it out, make it low-event hockey, hope to win 2-1 or 3-2 because they generate a few more chances on 5-on-5 and they actually look better on the power play than they did yesterday. But I think that 2-minute, 6-second stretch in the second period where they essentially lost the game by giving up 3 goals there, that kind of highlights exactly what can't happen and how thin their margin for error is. New York has more firepower. They are third on the power play, third on the penalty kill, seventh in the league in goals scored, seventh in the league in goals allowed, like very complete and potent unit. And the Caps, this version of the Caps, is not that. And they're also playing, as Walton mentioned, you know, down two defensemen that they count on. They've called up guys that are not supposed to be in this spot. And just that all adds up to a very thin margin for error. Now, if you take the other, you know, 57 minutes or whatever, it's really not that bad and not far from what they need to do to make these games, you know, 1-1 or 2-2 coming down the stretch where they have a shot of something bouncing in and stealing a game. They've got to figure out how to eliminate that stretch that bit them yesterday, well, they generate a few more chances, and they definitely cannot fall behind because they're not built. You know, those old Cap teams, if they fell behind 2-0, they're like, well, that doesn't matter because we're going to score 4. That's not this version of the Caps.
Yeah, they don't have that gear anymore. And they're not going to find it. The power play's got to get it done, and it isn't. New York's also pretty damn good. And I think we all got to be kind of, like, honest with ourselves about that because they're just loaded, man.
Yeah, and, you know, if you take Panarin and put him on the Caps, like, he's a guy who completely alters the team. I mean, he had 120 points during the regular season. And you watch him, it's like how you used to watch Ovi. And I'm not even saying that Ovi's not like this, but, like, he draws the eye. When he has the puck, you're like, this is a dangerous situation just because Panarin has it. And the Caps don't have that anymore. They don't have Nicholas Backstrom. TJ Oshie is a shell of himself. Ovi, crazy stats to score 24 over the final 36 games, but it's just not there like it was at all times in the past. So, therefore, Spencer Carberry, who would like to play a more up-tempo game as he gets into his career with the Capitals, knows that this isn't a version that could win that way. And he said yesterday going into the game, look, we're the 16th seed, right? Like, we're not supposed to be here. No one thought we would be here. Now, that doesn't mean that they are taking on the, like, poor me, woe is us, like, we have no shot. They just know that they have to play a certain way to get it done. And for at least 3 minutes yesterday, they didn't play that way. They got caught in a two-on-one situation, middle of the ice. That's not going to cut it because the Rangers are good enough to bury those chances, even when Lindgren is playing pretty well.
But when since it seemed like they are not, I mean, the Rangers are the better team, are the Caps going to have to try to muck it up a little bit with them?
That's right, Brian. I mean, slow it down, be very deliberate. I mean, the Caps were taking quite a bit of time on some of their breakouts, and I was saying to, I mean, JP may or may not have heard this, the guys sitting around me, it's like if they shorten the game to like 45 minutes instead of 60, that's a better way to think about it. Take the air out of the ball / puck and make the range, therefore eliminate the Rangers' chances. I've used the term before, low event hockey. Like, the Capitals used to thrive on chaos and, like, high event and we'll win 6-3 and, a goal given up really doesn't matter because we'll score 2 for every one of yours. Like, it's a total mind reset with this group because, as we've said, they don't have the horses offensively that they once did.
Agreed. We're talking with our friend Barry Sferluga here on the BetQL guest line. Let's switch things up to the draft because as much as we're focused on the Caps this week, nationally the draft is going to dominate the week, and Washington sitting at number 2 is kind of where things get interesting. Everybody assumes it's going to be Caleb Williams to Chicago at 1. Do you have a dog in the fight as far as who you think is the right guy? And do you have an opinion on taking 20 draft prospects, including 4 quarterbacks, to Topgolf?
Well, I'll just start with the latter. I mean, my opinion is that sure was weird, and I'm not going to go with, like, okay, it's been done other places. I feel like for the guys, especially if you're like Michael Penix, like, am I really in consideration to be the second pick here? Like, what am I doing with my time? And I'm not saying it was, like, detrimental in any way. You're asking if I have an opinion. I thought it was strange. It's not something that I was familiar with. Do I think it? The air, and I'm glad the Caps made the playoffs because we've got something else to fill the air with. But I definitely thought it was weird. As far as dog in the fight, like, I went into this whole process thinking, man, I think Drake May is really, really impressive. I've come through the process being like, I can't shake that Jaden Daniels threw 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions against the SEC, which is going to have a bunch of defensive backs that are first rounders. That's hard for me to shake. And I kind of come out the other side being like, look, if we think there are professionals running this operation in a way that hasn't happened before. Like, I've got to begin by trusting their opinion, certainly over mine, but them making an independent choice based on all of their evaluations, an evaluation process, if you're talking about with Adam Peters, that seems to be trustworthy because he had a heck of a lot of input into some really good drafts in San Francisco. So I've kind of settled on the terrible for a columnist spot of I'm pretty comfortable with either of them, Daniels and May. I think it would be a stretch to take McCarthy at number two. If they take McCarthy at number two, I'd kind of be like, couldn't you have traded back and gotten this guy? But the other two, I kind of feel like there's no bad choice.
I kind of sit in the same situation. And I take that mindset that you're taking with the draft of the quarterback, if they draft either one of them, the same way I take all of the other stuff. If Adam Peters decided to do it, something must be meant by it. So as strange as it may be and as uncommon as it may be, getting the guys together going to Topgolf, they were looking for something.
Sure, I'm willing to agree with that, Brian. I just think my initial reaction was, wow, that's strange. Now, I would love to hear Adam Peters' kind of real explanation of, like, what are we observing here? Like, what traits could be revealed in this kind of gathering? Is it really a discovery method, or is it just kind of for blanks and giggles? You know, I would hope that everything that this group does is with a purpose and is well thought out. I would definitely trust that. I just, my knee-jerk reaction was strange, not sure if it's necessary, would like to hear more about why it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we are, and I don't mean we like the three of us, I think collectively people are focusing on the Topgolf portion of this as maybe kind of odd, but not paying enough attention to all these guys got in. I think it was Tuesday evening, and they just gave them something to do Tuesday night before a full day Wednesday of interviews and normal draft prep. And I do think kind of hearing about this over the weekend from folks that were involved on both the player and the coaching side, like the efficiency with which you're able to then have 20 dudes visit your building is so significantly higher than if you bring them all in individually. And every day for 15 days, a guy has to block out 90 minutes of his schedule. Like, instead, it's just like, all right, one day we're going to do all of this. I think two things. If the Topgolf part of it never happened, if they just had like some food at the facility Tuesday night when everybody got in, or even if it was just at a conference room in a hotel, nobody would make anything of it. And two, I think the only reason it really becomes a thing is because you brought these quarterbacks in. And if it was 15 O-line, D-line, and tight ends, nobody would care.
No, and I love the idea of efficiency. I also, you know, just rolling it over in my mind, like, this franchise is playing from, like, an eternal deficit, and it's just not been the cool place to go. And I think if there's – I'm not going to go to culture change, but I think reputational change and attractiveness change – like, if you get the idea, and one thing we know about Dan Quinn is that, like, people who encounter him really, really enjoy him and, like, you know, think he's, if not cool, like, he's got something going, he's got a really nice mojo. And if you get the idea that, hey, you know, I'm a draft pick, I'm a potential prospect, like, oh, you know, what's going to happen when Washington brings you in? Like, well, you're going to meet all these people, and they've got a really cool process, and you're going to be exposed to something that's different. I'm fine with that. As long as it's intentional, has a reason behind it, there's a thought, it's thought through, and it's not just like one day being like, yo, dude, like, should we get like 20 or 30 of these guys together and maybe take them to hit some balls into a net? Like, I trust that that's not the case. I just would love to hear how it kind of fits into their idea of transforming this entire franchise's reputation, not just among its own fans, but among the people who might play for them either through the draft or in the future through free agency.
You're very right. I think if things go well this year and, say, they draft Daniels and he has a good year and two or three other picks start playing and they win seven games, I think when we get to the draft cycle next year, it'll be like, oh, the Commanders are doing their Topgolf thing and agents will be familiar with it.
I'll be there with them hitting balls.
Hell, that dude that hangs out at Dulles and films everybody will probably be at Topgolf. He'll figure out what day to do.
They may have to go to another place because of him.
Have you seen that guy, Barry?
No, I haven't seen it.
There's a guy on Twitter, and I'm blanking on his name, so forgive me, guy that hangs out at Dulles. But there's a guy that hangs out at Dulles that got all these videos of the various quarterbacks coming to town. And then I imagine this was kind of just happenstance, but then he also had a video of Rivera going to a flight, Ron. And he like walked and talked with Ron, and it was hysterical because he's asking Ron about the quarterbacks and all this stuff. And if you've been to Dulles enough, you know exactly where I'm talking about. As you kind of come in, and then you make the right behind all the ticketing gates, and you head towards security, the person is walking backwards filming Ron, and Ron's like, hey, watch out, you're going to hit that sign. And I just thought that was so funny.
Man, people have some time on their hands, don't they? I mean, that is incredible, incredible use of your valuable life to film prospects going through Dulles. First of all, Dulles Airport, going there voluntarily is just, that's a life decision, man.
I'll be honest, Barry, I have converted, dude. I'm a Dulles guy now. I'm United out of Dulles. There's barely ever delays. United runs a good shop. And
so you stop trying to drive all the way to Baltimore?
I'm out on that.
And be cheap? Just go to the damn best place.
DCA is the best. But
DCA here's the thing, man. DCA is unbeatable. My record from getting in an Uber at my house, which is basically at your station, through security at DCA is 14 minutes. So you cannot.
Yeah, but
anything.
That had to be the old terminal.
No, man. No, you TSA pre, you roll right. I mean, now I have.
Sometimes that security line is long.
It can be long. You cannot say a bad word about DCA around me.
I don't mind either one of them, but I'm not going to Baltimore like JP would always do and then lose his damn truck.
No, thank you.
Lost my truck once, all right?
But that's enough.
So, multiple things. When I lived in Kensington, Baltimore, BWI really wasn't bad because I was like an exit away from 95. Where I live now, Dulles is way closer because I got to deal with the spur and all that on the Beltway. The only problem I have with Dulles is Tyson's. Like, it's the same. It's the only problem I have with going to Ashburn. I prefer, like, if I could do radio from Ashburn or I could do radio from Nats Park, give me Ashburn. But I've come to terms over the years with the traffic that exists between Dulles and the American Legion Bridge. And I had to deal with that coming from Dulles also. DCA is the best, but there are fewer flights. United, Dulles got a billion flights anywhere you want to go.
You know, and you get straight flights out of Dulles.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. I agree with that. But my allegiance to DCA is so deep that I will take a connection out of DCA to the West Coast rather than going to Dulles and taking a nonstop.
Really?
I think something wrong with you. You need to go lay on the couch, man.
I might be weird in that regard. But
yes.
Listen, man, if you go to DCA, you don't have to get on a damn people mover ever.
The people movers suck. Like, that's true. But, I mean, dude, a connection is a disaster.
I used to cover baseball, so I know something about traveling for work.
Right.
Like, I've come – this is a research decision on my – and I will say, like, a recent time I was on a flight from Dulles was to L.A. for a baseball all-star game a couple summers ago. And, I mean, this isn't specific to Dulles, but did I sit on the tarmac on a United flight to LAX for 3 hours without moving? Yeah, I did.
Ooh.
So does that color how I feel about – well, I mean – this 45-minute connection through O'Hare won't be as bad because I just, instead of driving an hour to my flight, I got 15 minutes to my flight, and I'm saving time all around. So we don't have to – this is me on a soapbox. It's not for everybody, but it's not something I'm saying that I came up with in the last 5 minutes. It's 20 years of traveling, covering D.C. sports, DCA all the way.
I enjoy airport conversations, seriously. Mm-hmm. I think Dulles having surface parking – where you can just park and walk, and it's by far the closest parking, is awesome. Now, DCA's parking situation is good, but, like, it's kind of annoying getting to the tunnel and the right area for
they never have any damn spaces.
What'd you say, B?
They never have spaces.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, we'll continue with more airport talk next week, and perhaps we'll break down who the draft pick is. Barry, thank you for the time, bro.
See you tomorrow night. Thanks
a lot. All
right,
Barry, take care, brother.
That's our friend Barry Svrluga calling from somewhere. He's like on the GW Bridge, basically. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Jordan Reed, ESPN draft analyst. You're not going to want to miss that one, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The wait is over, D.C. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is officially live. And right now, new customers can get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out on $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, when you bet your first $5 on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 18 years old or present in D.C. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
12:30, as we inch closer to the NFL draft, and really, I mean, just days away now, Caps are fighting for their playoff lives down 0-1, but it's a best-of-seven series. They're going to be all right. Lot of football left, as I like to say. What about the Nats, B?
What about them?
Dude.
Nats making noise, dog.
Yo, all you can do in baseball is win series, right? You're not going to go undefeated. There's 8,000 games. But if you win series after series after series, you're chopping wood.
There you go.
And in the
and
last,
you're building confidence.
In the last two series they've played, or maybe no, they dropped the series to the A's. But the last two series they've played, I'd argue that the two, maybe you got to include the Braves too, but of the best teams in baseball over the last 5 years, and Landini, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, the Astros and the Dodgers are right there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Nats just took a series against the Dodgers, and then over the weekend, celebrating the 5-year anniversary of the World Series title, they took 2 out of 3 against the Astros.
Yeah.
The team they beat for the World Series 5 years back. And people were having fun. I saw a million pictures from the ballpark. Brian Dozier took his shirt off when they played Kalma. Like, it just seemed like a really fun weekend for Nats fans and for the players themselves.
The replica rings were a hit, dog.
Yeah, for sure.
Hit. But I think the team playing better was even more of a hit because – I think people understand what where this team is, but nothing is ever wrong with people getting to where they want to get to sooner. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, I mean, they're playing better than what many had thought. And they just got to keep it going because, you know, like you said, baseball is a damn marathon, bro.
Big time. But you know who pitched yesterday and threw a gem?
Who, that guy?
That's our guy. We, Landfill, I hope you're all right with this. Brian and I made a declaration while you were out on vacation that we are the foremost Mitchell Parker radio program in the city. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
And we largely did that because Toby Altizer, who's supposed to be a baseball expert, was S-talking our guy Mitchell Parker.
Wow.
And Brian and I said, hey,
Mitchell been S-talking Toby since then.
Yeah. Well, dude, here's what Brian and I knew about Mitchell Parker prior to his debut at Dodger Stadium last week. Pretty much nothing. But we knew he was a 6'5 lefty that got some sauce. So I said, all right, Toby, expert, you think Mitchell Parker's got nothing. We are now the foremost Mitchell Parker radio program in the world. And sure enough, he pitched well against the Dodgers. And against the Astros yesterday, he went 7 innings, only gave up 3 hits, no earned runs, and had 8 strikeouts.
See, I like people that can go 7 innings because I'm tired of everybody going 5.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, are we the foremost Mitchell Parker radio show in the world?
Yes, sir.
Landfill, you on board?
We got it.
I'm on board.
You know what? If there were any enterprising listeners from the Nats, let's reach out to Nats PR and try to get Mitchell Parker on our show. Yeah. I think that's what we should do.
That's what we should do.
Especially because, as everybody knows, because we are the foremost Mitchell Parker radio program
in
the world.
And historically, when people come on our show, they know how they play better.
And Garnett started coming on with us and got a car deal.
Yeah.
Not to mention, Landfill.
Is Garnett with the Rangers?
No, Flyers.
Okay. Make sure.
Mitch Parker and I are born in the same month, and Mitchell's name is Mitchell James Parker, so he's Mitchell JP, and so am I.
Yeah.
This is meant to be. Mitch Parker forever.
There we go. We win it.
Is there, Landfill, what, like, advanced metric should I be looking at for Mitch Parker through his 2 starts? His ERA, which is stats I grew up with, is 1.5, which is pretty damn good.
I'll take it.
You want to know his whip?
No.
0.583.
I mean, that sounds good.
Whip is walks and hits per inning pitched, right?
I believe so.
If he's given up about less than 1 of those per inning, that seems good. I don't know what the range is to that. Mm. Like I know a sub-2 ERA is Cy Young territory. Now, let's let him have a few more starts before we start talking about that, man.
Don't put that pressure on him.
Yeah, I'm not. But I'm in on this guy. I like big, strong lefties. And I don't know. Nats are playing well. And it's you got to give Bees credit, who was saying he thought they'd be better. The bats have been better. C.J. Abrams has been great. You know, we got a lot of time, but you got to think Abrams is probably going to head to the All-Star game. The kid, Jesse Winker, has been really good for them through however many games so far. I think they're almost 500. I think they're 10-11. Is that right? Does that sound right, Landy?
They're close.
They're 10-11 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if they could get to May at 500, would be a pretty big upset. I don't think they're a playoff team, but
Dodgers once again.
Well, my thing is I've always said that I believe in Mike Rizzo. I think he's the best GM in this city since Bobby Bethard. And just let Rizzo cook, man. Just let Mike Rizzo do his thing. So encouraging stuff from the Nats. That was a pleasant walk down baseball lane, and now we're going to go back to the draft.
Mm-hmm. Let's
do it. Tony Pauline.
We got Tony, but tomorrow we have Patrick Corbin.
Well, that might be a fade the Nats situation. Tony Pauline is a guy I like a lot. He's a draft analyst. He kind of has bounced around to a bunch of different places, but he's pretty wired in, and he wrote a story over the weekend where he talked to a former GM that this is how he described him. This person has been involved in the league for close to 40 years and comes from a football family that's been involved at high levels of coaching for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, he basically just gave some comments on the top quarterbacks in this draft. I'm going to skip Caleb Williams, except to point out that this is interesting. My source told me there are some people in the league who have said there's no way they would take the USC passer if they had the first pick. And not based on any of the nonsense we've heard, but just based on can he run a clean NFL offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go number one, so that's less relevant. But I wanted to read what he writes about Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and then J.J. McCarthy. Starting with Daniels here. It was nothing but praise for Jaden Daniels, who is expected to be the second pick in the draft. The obvious was mentioned. Daniels has taken a huge leap forward over the past season. My own personal opinion is that Daniels began elevating his game at the midpoint of the 2022 season. While there may be concerns about Daniels' pocket stature, I was told that of the top quarterbacks in the draft, he is the most ready of the group and will have the most success as a starter this season.
Mm.
So I think that's pretty strong.
Very.
This is Tony Pauline speaking to a high-level NFL source about Drake May. Drake May was described in an interesting way from a football perspective. He's not immature, but he's not ready. He believes May will need at least a year because before he's ready to step under center, and that year must be spent working on throwing mechanics and fundamentals. NFL scouts and decision makers look at what a player does well as a primary indicator in their evaluation. My guy believes this is relevant to May as his good tape is really good, and the team that ultimately selects the former Tar Heel will base the decision on his good tape, dismissing the poor play.
Mm.
I can wrap my head around that. Like, what he showed.
They have a little bit of, what you call it, Mike Shanahan in them.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Show me the good, because I'll get it out of them.
See, that's the ultimate thing. Like you can look at the good on a highlight reel. A highlight reel could be 15 plays on a rotating thing, and it could look spectacular. But what if you have 100 terrible plays? I feel you got to be able to work that out. I think you got to incorporate both. You can't just incorporate good or bad. You got to incorporate both to see if the bad is as bad as it looks and the good is as great as it's supposed to be. You know, if the bad is just simple things that you can clean up, who cares? You know, if your bad is minimal, you know, it's not no spectacular stuff when it's bad, you can work it out. But if it's, like, real bad, like, oh, boy, I don't want to work on this type of stuff, you got a problem.
Well, dude, because I don't want to overly simplify this, but you know who put some really good stuff on tape?
Who?
Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Sam Howell was able to make some really impressive plays.
Yeah.
But eventually the bad kept stacking up. I think Drake's a different level of prospect. I think he's a different level of physical prospect. I do think Sam's lack of height impacted him. Drake doesn't have that issue. I think Drake can play, but the footwork stuff is going to be problematic. I think Daniels comes in, but I think I want to read this about JJ, and I've kind of been saying this for some time that for me, if it's JJ or Drake, I think I lean JJ, honestly. I know that people would have a lot of people take issue with that and have real questions about it, but
JJ McCarthy?
Yeah. If it's JJ or Drake for me, I'm just saying, I think that would be my decision, but I want to read this from Pauline. The final decisions on JJ McCarthy are simple for my source and based on predetermined opinions. If you like him, there's enough good tape and next level potential to take him early. If you don't like McCarthy, there are enough questionable passes that will allow you to pass on him. He likes the toughness and intelligence McCarthy plays with, as well as his leadership. I expressed my concern about McCarthy's arm strength for the next level and was told, he's made some really nice deep throws the past few seasons. Not a lot, but enough to make believers out of those who want to draft him. I really like this, B. I want to read this to you. He says, according to my source, who knows the quarterback personally, McCarthy would tell highly rated players who took recruiting trips to Michigan, if you want to go to college to party, sign elsewhere. But if you want to win a national championship, this is the place for you. I kind of like that in my QB.
Yeah, I like that. But, I mean, if it hadn't come through this year, then what would that really say?
It came through, though. But
it eventually came through. But I don't care if he tells them about it at all. Those type of things right there don't make me one bit of difference on the football field.
You like Drake more than JJ? I mean, that's what most people do.
Well, I mean, I would say at this point, yes, because I've seen Drake have to take over the passing aspect. I think just like people tried to limit a lot of the quarterbacks in the Joe Gibbs system because of what the running game was, he had a hell of a running game,
yeah.
And that's why not many people blitzed him. That's why when they did blitz, they still sat back because they knew that the running game could pop you at any time.
And, give it a
huh?
Nothing. I thought you were done. Sorry.
Like a defense with a defense that sees that offense that's potent running the ball, they're not going to do as many things as they would if you didn't have a potent running game.
All that is correct. Giving away deep purple tickets next. Plus, we're going to tell you exactly how Pauline stacks the quarterbacks up against each other. Jordan Reed at one. Don't go anywhere. I got a dumb question. I feel like I should know the answer to this. We're about to give away Deep Purple tickets. Is this song by Deep Purple?
Yes.
Okay, cool. What's the name of it? I mean, this song is, I've heard it a billion times. What's the name of this joint?
Smoke on the Water.
Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. All right. I like it. Turn it up. All right, now I recognize it. If you want to go see Deep Purple, you get a pair of tickets for the Deep Purple One More Time Tour, Saturday, September 7th at Jiffy Lube Live. That's the day before the NFL will open. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. Tickets courtesy of Live Nation. Deep Purple One More Time Tour. 800-636-1067. Caller number 10 right now gets those two tickets. On the water. Of the four of us, probably me, who's most likely to attend Deep Purple at Jiffy Lube Live?
You?
I think Jeff's last.
I'm probably last. I'm probably worse than Jeff.
Yeah, but you live a lot closer.
Don't mean I'm going.
Landfill?
Never not leaving out of his house.
Yeah, that's correct. JP is definitely the most likely to go.
If Deep Purple come into the studio, he'll see him.
I'd be pumped.
And they came in. Listen, Landfill, make sure the Deep Purple's people know that they are welcome to come in studio.
The Purple people.
The Purple people eaters, too. They're also welcome. All right, let me finish this out. This is Tony Pauline on the draft before we have Jordan Reed. Because if I recall, I believe Jordan Reed kind of thinks differently here. This is Tony Pauline and his most trusted source. It's a former league GM. Looking back on our conversation in my notes, I agree with most of his opinions. I've stated all along that I believe Jaden Daniels would be the best signal caller to come out of the 2024 NFL draft. And at the very least, my source believes he'll be the most successful in the early stages. I think that's all pretty accurate. I think there's a lot to like about the young man. Landfill, if we can, I wanted to play we didn't play the last Jaden cut you had prepared. And I think he talked about all the different teams he's visited. People keep tweeting me, like people keep communicating something to me that I think it's okay to process here. Jaden Daniels grew up in Southern California, and when he was at college at Arizona State, Antonio Pierce was one of his coaches, and those two have a close connection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad thing that when he talks about the Raiders, he'd be excited about the prospect of playing for the Raiders. The Raiders ain't going to get him at 13. So something dramatic would have to change.
And if anybody listened to his interview, he said all of that stuff.
Here's Jaden talking about all the teams he's visited.
Man, it's kind of just like, you know, they want to kind of introduce you to the offense. You know, see, quiz you a little bit, get up and, you know, do a little cadence in there. Learn more about yourself. That's kind of like on those visits, they want to learn more about the person. You know, they know about the football player,
right?
But they want to learn more about the person, like your background, where you come from, you know, how was you raised, stuff like that. So that's kind of what I've been getting. And then from there, they really want to see your football IQ. Like, what can you remember?
Yeah,
it's kind of like they quiz you a little bit. So they just want to see if you're a smart football player, especially being a quarterback. You know, you got to have a high football IQ. So
absolutely,
that stuff like that I kind of did when I was on the visits.
I think this kid clearly has a high football IQ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way you can see the field and see the lanes to run in and everything, that doesn't say that some of the other guys won't. But as we inch closer and the the drama of Emojigate has subsided, it's starting to feel, I don't know, does it feel like they're going to take Daniels to UB?
I've felt that for a long time, and I haven't changed my mind based off of anything because I haven't seen nothing that was drastic enough for them to have a change of mind.
Well, there you have it. When we come back, Jordan Reed, ESPN draft analyst, joins the program.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.